Methodological meditation after we have reflected on God's purpose in creating us and His purpose in creating and providing for the rest of the world. The whole meaning, and I mean the whole meaning of Christianity, depends on our admitting, understanding, and realizing the gravity of sin. We are guessing whether God would have become man if man had not sinned. We know on faith God became man because man had sinned. And if there was ever, and I mean ever, a reason in world history for stressing the importance of realizing the existence of sin, it is in our day. No one who knows what is going on has any doubt the Catholic Church is going to the gravest crisis over now 2,000 years of history. It's not my superlative. It's the superlative of Paul VI and the present Holy Father. The gravest crisis in the history of Christianity. The Archdiocese where I live in Detroit, in 1 year, closed 43 parishes and parish churches. Chicago now has on sale 62 Catholic churches. In 1 year, one religious community of teaching sisters in Detroit, 1 year, informed of them, Cardinal Dearden, come this fall, you will no longer be teaching in 31 of your parish schools. They all closed down. Empty seminaries, empty novitiates. My 22nd year in working for the Holy See, first week of this month, in Rome, on business. The Holy Father has no illusion about the condition of the Church in the United States. And it's not only the United States as we know. It is one, as the Holy Father calls it, one materially overdeveloped country after another. And the basic reason is not only that there is sin, but now learned volumes, how will I know, undercutting the very nature of sin. Our focus in this meditation will be on three aspects of the subject of sin. First, the meaning of sin, then sin in God's providence in the world, and then sin in God's providence in my own life. We are all sinners. It is sheer unrealism to make a retreat without taking stock of the fact that we have sinned. And as we know, sin has its consequences. One consequence it should not have is to discourage or depress. Sin should be seen with the eyes of faith as having a providential purpose. The scratching on granite, the climb in the Himalayas, we do not comprehend, but we do believe that everything, remember we said, everything in the world somehow is part of the providence of God, including my own sin. First then, the meaning of sin. Sin is the deliberate offense against God. Sin is the disobedience, hear it, of a law of God. Never was an indefinite article more important than the one in this definition of sin. Sin is the disobedience of a law of God. There are, as I'm sure you know, many rampant erroneous ideas at large in the modern world. I know of none that has been more devastating than the so-called theory of the fundamental option. You do not, so the claim goes, you do not commit a mortal sin unless you reject God. What used to be called mortal sin has now been renamed. It is now a serious sin which a person must get into the habit of committing. One adultery is not a mortal sin. One fornication is not a mortal sin. One perjury is not a mortal sin. Read it. There are books on the subject. It is getting into the habit of fornicating or committing adultery or perjury that now constitutes a mortal sin. No wonder our Holy Father, on his first pilgrimage to America and speaking to the assembled American hierarchy in Chicago, pleaded with the bishops, "I understand just about everybody on a Sunday morning comes to Holy Communion. Beautiful. But I also hear that your confessionals are empty. pleading with the bishops. And the bottom line is, what is sin? What is mortal sin? There are basically two kinds of sin, and both, as Ignatius tells us, never, even a short weekend retreat, never give a retreat without one meditation on sin. So, this is our meditation on sin. And we need it, my dear fellow sinners, we need it. I need it. I don't know your lives, I know mine. No one needs it more than I. There is original sin and actual sin. Sin into the world at the dawn of human history. Because of original sin, faith tells us, death into the world. Because of original sin, we no longer have that gift of integrity that our first parents possessed and we would have inherited from them. The built-in, inner mastery of our desires. There are degrees of sin. There is mortal sin, a single, fully conscious and deliberate disobedience. What our conscience tells us is gravely forbidden by God is a mortal sin. Get a copy of the book. Pardon me. Small paperback encyclical, Persona Humana, better, document of the Holy See. And his title, I think, is On Sexual Morality. We can commit a mortal sin by a single, fully conscious, and deliberate offense against what our mind tells us is gravely forbidden by God. A few weeks ago, a woman in Detroit told me, "You've just been to the children's mass in the parish church, and the pastor there told the children, now children understand, confession is not for you, it's for adults. I'm quoting, I want none of you children to go to confession," unquote. Some time ago I was giving some lectures in, I'll name it, McLean, Virginia. Sunday Mass, 10 o'clock, crowded church, standing room only. Have you heard my homily? I looked over the audience and I thought to myself, said a prayer, Lord, should I? I thought he said, do it. So I looked over the congregation, I said, and I try to keep from being sarcastic. My dear friends in Christ, I never thought I would preach a sermon in the holiest parish in the United States. The two pastors, Magdolf, Saturday afternoon and evening, asked me if I would take their place in every confessions. I was there in the afternoon and in the evening. To other people, I counted 12 confessions all day yesterday. I can't imagine that all of you, that all of you are in the state of grace. I told the people, now look, by all means, go to communion, even every day, but be sure you're in the state of grace when you receive our Lord in the Eucharist. During my speaking, I noticed hands dropping, eyes turning. I am pleased to report that is 1/4 of the congregation did not go to communion. Viva! And you as future priests, be sure that you encourage the people to go to confession and children to receive the sacrament of confession. And before receiving First Holy Communion, you still learn the meaning of sin. Sin has its effects. 2, inevitable effect of every sin. There are 3 monosyllables that go together. They are sin, guilt, and pain. Sin, guilt, and pain. Guilt has nothing to do with a subjective psychological disposition of a person's mind. The essence of guilt is the loss of divine grace. Remember that. Guilt means loss of grace. Every time we sin, we lose grace. And depending on the gravity of the sin, we lose a corresponding, shall I call it amount, degree of divine grace. When we sin, we fail in loving God the way we should. So what's grace? Grace is God's undeserved love for us. Now, there is one passage in the Old Law. My first 15 years in teaching theology was in Latin. What joy! Teaching the Catholic faith in a Catholic language, Latin. A passage of the Old Law, this is Yahweh speaking. Ego diligentes me dirigo. I love those who love me. But doesn't God love everyone? Sure, he loves everyone. But when we sin and fail in our love for God, he withdraws more or less of his love for us, otherwise known as divine grace. Second monosyllable that goes along with sin, pain. Every time we sin, we incur a debt of pain. Say that again. Every time we sin, we incur a debt of pain. There is a logical, causal, built-in relationship between sin and pain. And depending on how deeply and gravely we've sinned, we owe God a corresponding obligation to suffer. Oh, what clever books are being written. Well, there are articles in long, sesquipedalian words and journals. How will I know? I know too many authors of those books and journals not to know. Sin having entered the world, pain entered the world. And not just generic pain, but my pain, my debt of suffering. And because I've offended God, I own in expiation to God for having offended Him. What then are the divinely built-in effects of every sin? They are the loss of grace and the incurring of a death of pain. In other words, having sinned, we've lost grace. Having sinned, we owe God a death of suffering. And as Augustine tells us, you've got one very simple choice. Either to suffer here or suffer hereafter. And before this retreat is over, I hope I'll be clear that as sinners, let's make sure we never, this is a divinely revealed advert, never run away from pain. Never question, never. To expiate our own sins and the sins of others. So far, part one, on the meaning of sin. Part two, God's providence. God's providence of the world and sin. We shall never fully understand why God has created only the angelic world of pure spirits and the human world of body and soul, and conferred on the angels and on us the ineffable, the unspeakable gift of liberty. We don't really understand why, but we can't say this. God made the human race and conferred on human beings a free will that they might love Him, because love under coercion is not love. Moreover, and here we are surely dealing with mystery. God being God wants to love His rational creatures. And He has conferred on them, that's on us, the freedom that enables us, if that is an enablement, that enables us to say no to God you don't explain that, you'll believe it. The sun, moon, and stars, the constellation of the heavens, the mountains, the rivers and the seas, never, never say no to God. We can. You're talking about God's providence in allowing sin of the world. As far as our faith enables us to say it, God has allowed sin in the world in order that it might exercise His loving mercy toward those who, having used their free will, disobeyed their loving Creator. I don't really understand what I am saying, but I have to say it. Unless sin had entered the world, God could not have, hear the verb, could not have, practiced His mercy. Mercy is love indeed, but mercy is forgiving love. God then has allowed sin to enter the world, that He, the Almighty Creator, might exercise not only the love that He exercised when He brought us into this world, not only in making us who we are, not only in gifting us with all the wonderful blessings that we enjoy and possess, God has allowed us to sin in order that, showing love toward us, His sinful creatures, He might practice His mercy. We go on. It was because of sin that God became man. St. Robert Bellarmine, in one of his conferences to his own Jesuit confreres studying theology, if ever he told them, you have any doubt about the gravity of sin, just think. What God did, it took the incarnation, it took God to become man, to redeem man from sin. You're living in a country where sin has become institutionalized. You're living in a country where sin, murder of unborn children, has been legalized. We're living in a country where the whole science of psychiatry, with some notable exceptions, under the leadership of Sigmund Freud, anyone who believes, this is Freud, anyone who believes that we are to avoid, quote, sin here on earth, to avoid hell and reach heaven in the world to come, is psychotic, unquote, Sigmund Freud. My dear fellow psychotics, this is the world we're living in. Having done my own graduate studies in psychology before being shifted by superiors into theology, I have no illusion of how widespread he is. Or shall I call it an error? Or the popular fancy that what Christianity calls sin, well, it is oppression, suppression of our desires. Know how specific I could be, what names I could name that I forbear. Christianity alone, having taught for over 30 years comparative religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, of course, Judaism and Protestantism. Christianity and within Christianity, Catholic Christianity, alone makes sense of the evil in the world. Whatever else I hope during these days that we're together, I hope to clarify your mind at least a little bit. Clear thinking. To know the meaning of evil. Evil is that which the will does not want. It all depends on whose will we're talking about. If it is contrary to our will, we call it pain, otherwise known as physical evil. If it is contrary to the will of God, it is sin, otherwise known as moral evil. It is not a class in theology, not a course in soteriology, or divine grace, or morality. But we better know something, know it, in a world in which by newspapers, one newspaper after another, day after day, glamorizes, glorifies, publicizes, dramatizes sin. So wake up. What then is the purpose in God's providence for loving sin in the world? That he might draw, listen, he might draw greater good, talk about mystery, greater good, somehow, because of, occasioned by, since there has been, sin in the world. Indeed, greater good. In the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday, in Latin, how happy I was to participate in a Mass said in Latin. Mortum, mortum, mihi pacet. Hope you're studying some Latin, are you? Pardon me. If you're not studying Latin, learn some Latin. Our maternal language, language of Mother Church. It is true, I remember. Oh, happy sin. Happy sin is somewhat toned down. Oh, happy fall. Oh, happy fault. because of which God, we believe, became man. Now the principal focus of this meditation is on part 3, sin in God's providence in our own lives. We're all sinners, and we know we are. But God had a purpose, and He wants us to benefit from that purpose. In other words, God allowed us to sin that, hear it, we might serve Him more faithfully, love Him more deeply, and know Him more profoundly than in His ordinary providence. We have to say this. And God foresaw He would have, had He not sinned. Remember the sinful woman at Christ's feet and the hypocritical Pharisee. What kind of a man is this? Doesn't he know that he's a prostitute? That he is. You're washing his feet as it happened. But it is. And then Christ, remember, made the observation. Many sins have been forgiven her because she has loved much. To love more, God knows why He allowed the great sinners of history and the lesser sinners, ourselves, to have offended Him. He wants us to love Him more. The classic event, of course, is after Christ's resurrection from the dead. Then, having fished all night and caught nothing, perfect. Then, Christ is on the shore. The brother John recognizes Him, tells Peter. Peter dives into the water. Christ then tells them to throw their net. Remember? Who remembers how many fish they caught? $153. Then Christ served them a meal. And after they were well fed, He took Peter aside. Did not even call him Peter, Simon. And asked him, first question, Simon, do you love me more than these do? How could Peter know how much the other apostles loved Christ? He couldn't. But he knew how much he should love Christ, because he knew that he had denied his master. Either we make sense of the sin in our life, or we're not really awake spiritually. God has allowed us to sin. So that, having sinned, and in each case, I've got 10 adjectives, I could have made it 40. Because he wants us to be more. More what? More humble. Than we would have been had we not sinned. The deepest humiliation is not the humiliation caused by others. The deepest humiliation is in our own minds and hearts. No matter what anyone else can say about us, we know ourselves too well. So we might be more humble than we would have been had we not sinned. Or we might be more believing. We maybe can be more or less believing. We sure can. And how we need faith in God's mercy. Even the atheist Freud, after a lifetime of practice of psychoanalysis, he said, of course, he used his own meaning for the terms he used. He knows of no exception among the people that he treated over a whole lifetime for emotional and mental problems. Everyone, he said, everyone that I treated had a deep sense of guilt. Of disturbance, distress, worry, anxiety. I've dealt with too many people, including both successfully and unsuccessfully, people who want to commit suicide. Some I prevented from doing so, others I did not succeed. But because we have sinned, we will be more believing. Believing what? Believing in God's mercy. And because we have sinned, we will become more prayerful. Now we all know ourselves too well. What fools. What raving idiots we are left to ourselves. How we need constantly the help of God. Why has God allowed us to sin? That we might be more patient. I remind people, if they know, or tell them if they don't know. The Latin verb to suffer is patius. To be more patient, more willing to suffer. Everybody suffers, not everybody is patient. Patience is voluntary suffering. I've got it coming. I'm a sinner. Number 5, that we might be more fervent. I know village life too well. My own community. And by now, in years in working for the Congregation for Religious, are what I know the massive disintegration of once fervent religious life in a country like ours. More fervent, we can become so habituated, go through a certain routine, and the heart not being in what we're doing. Having sinned, we dare not become casual in our service of God. Sixth, because we have sinned, we should be more merciful. Merciful to whom? Merciful to those whom God, in His wonderful providence, puts into our lives to cause us pain. Thank God for the unkind, the uncouth, the nasty, the thoughtless, the mean people in your life. Thank God. They are gifts. Because, having sinned ourselves, and we want mercy from God, that's why God put these people into our lives. To open our eyes. It's a real world. 90% of the millions of books read in the United States each year, 90% are fiction. People living in an unreal world. And because we have sinned, number seven, we might be more generous. When we think of how generous God has been to us, quite frankly, whether you have analyzed all your motives for entering the religious life, I can give you one reason. One reason for becoming a religious is to be able to be more generous with God. By undertaking and undergoing a way of life that, absolutely speaking, he would not have had to live. Number eight. So, we may be more persevering. It is one thing to start with bursting fervor. It's something else to keep going and going and never be bored by the spiritual life. Number nine, because we have sinned, we should be more zealous than we would have been had we not sinned. Zealous means more generous in sharing with others what God has so undeservingly given us. The purpose of serving God, the purpose of becoming holy, is not that we may become holy, period. That we might become more holy indeed, that God then might use us as more effective channels of His grace. Spend ourselves. Exhaust ourselves. Anytime you go to bed, you're not tired. Confess it in your next confession. I mean it. knowing as God allowed us to sin, that we might be more hopeful than we would have been had we not sinned. Say that again. God has allowed us to sin that we might be more hopeful than we would have been had we not sinned. Hope, as you know, is a virtue that enables us to be confident that the promises God has made, He will fulfill. Why then should we be more hopeful? Because we know how generous and merciful God has been to us so far. Can you imagine, without blasphemy, allowing yourself to think for one moment that He will not be more generous and more merciful in the years and time and the eternity in the future? Only God knows. But I believe most of the saints in heaven are converted sinners. But they were sinners who had faith, and sinners who believed that God does not allow sin without a purpose. And the purpose in God's providence is that we might do more for His glory, bring more souls to heaven, and achieve higher sanctity than and I mean this, that God, who knows all things He foresaw, would have been achieved had we mysteriously not sinned, been forgiven, and now have the task ahead of us of using the mercy of God in order to share this mercy with everyone that is our lives. By the closing prayer, Mary, Mother of God, you were conceived without sin. You never actually sinned, but you are the mother of our Redeemer from sin. Obtain for us something of your deep understanding of how terrible is sin, of how much sin offends your divine Son. Ask Him to have mercy on us sinners and give us the grace of expiating for our sins. Ask Him to make us more humble, more believing, more prayerful, more patient, more fervent, more merciful, more generous, more persevering, more zealous, and more hopeful as a result of our past sins. Ask Him to protect us from ever losing His friendship through mortal sin, and to make us more and more free from deliberate sin as we come closer to eternity. so that, dear Mother, though we are like you, are conceived from sin, might enter eternity without sin. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.